WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A judge orders the tarps covering two Civil War statues in Charlottesville be removed, even as the city tries to get rid of the statues. A prominent local leader of the movement to protect the Dreamers discusses DACA and what it has meant for her at JMU. And even as West Virginia teachers continue their strike, Virginia's lawmakers are still divided over a teacher pay raise. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, February 28th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Giant black tarps have covered two Jim Crow-era statues of Civil War generals in Charlottesville for months now. The move was quickly challenged with a lawsuit, and Tuesday, a judge finally ruled. Jordy Yeager has more.
The tarps covering the statues of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee must come down, a state judge ruled Tuesday. Anti-statue protesters were not pleased.
No statues! No KKK! No racist USA!
Last year, Charlottesville City Council voted to remove the two statues, but a pending lawsuit is temporarily blocking that move. Following the August 12th white supremacist rally, city councilors voted to cover Lee and Jackson in the meantime. One councilor suggested that the tarps be shrouds, used as a sign of mourning for the three people who died on August 12th. Since then, the tarps have been surrounded by controversy. Pro-statue advocates tore them down within days of going up, but that didn't violate any laws. And so city council voted to erect mesh fencing around the base of the statues, saying that to cross over it would be trespassing. Since then, several people have removed the tarps several times, resulting in several arrests. On Tuesday, Charlottesville Circuit Court Judge Richard Moore ruled in favor of removing the tarps. The judge gave the city 15 days to take them down. In Charlottesville, I'm Jordy Yeager.
The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA, was at the center of this month's Democracy in Peril session last night at JMU. WMRA's Calvin Penn reports.
Last night's discussion focused on the fight to keep Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, from being terminated, but through the context of mass deportations in U.S. history. JMU professor Daniel Morales explains that history.
When the Great Depression came, public opinion sharply turned against Mexican immigrants. Mexicans were blamed for unemployment. Communities turned on them. Citizenship did not save somebody in the 1930s.
There are 38,000 undocumented youths in Virginia, just over 12,000 of which are DACA approved. One of those recipients, local community organizer Isabel Castillo, spoke during the session, explaining her experience with the program and of others that rely on DACA as well.
So DACA has really helped many youth in our community to be able to go to college and afford it. Even though we still don't qualify for federal financial aid, so no, we're not taking people's resources because we don't qualify for those resources.
Morales and JMU communications professor Carlos Alemán explained that while the current fight for DACA is about the changing demographics in the United States, the situation, like similar events in the past, is about the larger issue of immigration. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
Also, the fight over Virginia's next budget continued on Tuesday. A House committee took aim at a Senate proposal to partially expand Virginia's Medicaid program without paying for it. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the House has voted to use federal money to fully expand the program to cover more than 300,000 uninsured Virginians. The House Appropriations Committee estimates the full cost at more than $440 million to serve almost 61,000 Virginians with mental illness, substance use disorders, or life-threatening complex medical conditions. The Senate budget does not include money to pay for some expanded Medicaid services. Both budgets would raise the income threshold for receiving Medicaid to 138% of the federal poverty level. That's earning less than $17,000 a year. Finally, West Virginia is not the only place where teacher raises are being debated. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports that lawmakers in Richmond are divided about whether or not they can afford to pay teachers more.
Freshman delegate Cheryl Turpin is not just a Democrat representing Virginia Beach. She's also an AP environmental science teacher at Frank W. Cox High School. So she says she was thrilled to vote for a budget that has a 2% raise for teachers.
So some of the issues that caused us to go, oh, we're going to go into education because we have a guaranteed retirement, and that's a much different story today. So these 2% raises help individuals. Maybe it goes into healthcare, or maybe it will go into the retirement.
But that 2% raise for teachers was just on the House side. The Senate budget does not include money for teacher raises.
But we like teachers.
That's Senator Steve Newman, a member of the Senate Finance Committee. He says the Senate has been generous to teachers in recent years, more so than the House or the governor, he says. But this year, it just wasn't possible.
Clearly, this year, we were not able to give the state employees a raise, and we always treat those two the same.
And so teacher raises are in the House budget, but not in the Senate budget. That means it'll be debated in a conference committee that will be dominated by this debate about whether or not to expand Medicaid to 400,000 people who live in poverty or with disabilities. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Lebeke. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.